Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities in collaboration with KCBX and made possible through the underwriting by Joan Gellard Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. Horses represent powerful yet gentle ambassadors of the natural world. Like humans, they are herd animals and have to work together and communicate effectively to stay safe. Unlike humans, they are prey animals and remain vigilant for survival. That makes them apt teachers in awareness, being in the present moment, calming oneself quickly, setting appropriate boundaries, and learning to trust. So what does that mean for today's show? Since horses are large and powerful, they create a natural opportunity for some clients to overcome fear and develop confidence. Today we'll be talking about a program that focuses on horses and humans healing together. My guests today are Sam Balsasak, who is the program director for Reins of Hope, an acronym that stands for Human Opportunity Partnering with Equines. She's also an equine specialist, as well as an EGALA Level 2 military. And Lynn Dorgan, who is a marriage and family therapist with the program. Our show is live today, and you can join our conversation with your comments and questions by calling us at 781-3875. Again, your call-in number is 781-3875, and Sam and Lynn and I would be loving to hear from you. And ladies, thank you for joining me today. I'm very curious about the show today. So first, tell me a little bit about Reins for Hope and how this started and, you know, how broad is this kind of a program?
Well, thank you for having us, first and foremost. Reins of Hope was established in 2006, and we are currently in Ojai, San Ynez, Santa Barbara, and Malibu. We travel with our horses. This program was developed to work with youth at risk, and then we have since developed a military component because of Lynn Dorgan over here, who is our distinguished EGALA member, and what that means is she has certifications in the military, and in as a distinguished member, she mentors others to teach this form of therapy, and it's using horses.
Talk a little bit, Lynn, about the, you know, when as an distinguished member of EGALA, what EGALA is and what that means.
Thank you, Chris. EGALA is an acronym. Did I say it?
Acronym?
Acronym. Mm-hmm. For Equine Assisted Growth and Learning Association, which is an international organization that certifies us to do the work. It's the gold standard in equine assisted psychotherapy. We have 4,500 members in the United States, in the world, and there are 600 programs such as ours in the United States. There's a further designation and certification that comes along with that with a lot of extra training, which is to provide services for military. And in the last 6 years, we have been able to provide services for a lot of our, not only our veterans, but our active duty and their families.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, how long has the program existed? When did it first start?
The Reins of Hope started in 2006.
So it's fairly recent.
Well, the whole equine-assisted psychotherapy modality is
pretty new on
the forefront. It's an experiential, solution-focused modality.
As opposed to talk therapy?
Right. Mm-hmm. See, I also have a private practice where I do talk therapy, and I would say that one equine-assisted therapy session is equivalent to about four talk sessions in terms of the healing potential for it and the growth.
And how was it in 2006? What was the transition? I mean, what led up to the kind of the culmination of developing this program around using horses?
Well, we started out, Julie Sardonia founded the program in 2006 with her partner Marie Ortiz. And they, for a few years, it was the two of them and three horses. Well, now there's 12 of us, and we work with 13 horses. The program has been so successful that we've just needed to add the people to accommodate the demand for it.
What kind of training, what do you look for? I'm assuming these are relatively special horses that are utilized in the program?
Chris, you can use any horse as long as it's not aggressive.
No kidding.
A
so there is no special
There's
training.
There's no special
training. A horse
training.
Is a horse. I love that.
But the horses that we've been working with for some years, like our lead horse is named Chrome. We call him Dr. Chrome. He has become such the compassionate therapist that they take to it. And when we travel and we pull up with the trailer, they're like, let's go to work. And they just jump in the trailer and we're ready to go. They love the work.
And to add to that, Chrome also had a fractured front leg. And so he was unable to be ridden. So his job before he came to Reins of Hope was on a cattle ranch. And since
he was a working horse.
He was a working horse. And because he could no longer work, he was slotted to be euthanized. And we rescued him. So he came to us and has a totally different job. And so many of our veterans, so many of our wounded individuals relate so well to him because he's got a different job. He went doing one thing and came out doing a completely different.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, how was it discovered that, how did they develop even around the concept of using horses?
Sam was kind of in on the beginning of uh-huh. that whole thing. The EGALA started in
1999. Yep.
Okay.
And Sam was there at the very beginning, so I'm going to let her give you a little background on that.
I grew up with horses. I've never been without a horse. And I adopted a lot of special needs children. And part of their therapy was when they got back from a therapeutic session, in a talk therapy session, they would come home and we would go out with the horses. And we'd go riding, or we would just sit out and groom, or we'd feed or whatever, because it was really hard on the kids. They came from foster care. They were older. And so I used them, the horses, as therapy, just like I did for myself. And I thought, somebody's doing this. Somebody's doing this. Mm-hmm. So I found a program, EGALA, which was Greg Kirsten and Lynn
Thomas.
And they were doing, right at the very beginning, and starting their certification process. And they were working with youth. And that's how it all evolved. So I went there. I spent 3 years. I interned there. And then I took over the program. Then when I came to California, because my other job moved me here, I found Reins of Hope, and that's how I started with them. So it's just been evolving. But horses are natural teachers.
Did the program Reins of Hope start in the U.S.?
Yes. Reins of Hope started in Ojai, California.
Ojai. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And the other programs that are available throughout the world that you talked about mm-hmm. grew out of this?
Out of EGALA, yes. And there's other types. I mean, people have been doing, I think, using animal therapy
right.
from the beginning.
Yeah.
And we all know how animals help us. Mm-hmm. The difference with horses is horses are prey animals, where a dog is a carnivore and he's a predator.
Right.
Horses have to stay safe. That's their number one goal in life, mm-hmm. is to stay safe. And they utilize their herd for that. So many of our veterans and our active duties and even people that have suffered trauma share that with us. That's how we feel. We felt preyed upon. Mm-hmm. We felt we always had to stay vigilant. The difference, though, is horses can calm themselves quickly, and they can graze, and they use their herd. But when you get out of the service, or you're away from your comrades or your sisters and brothers in arms, who's got your back?
Your herd's gone.
Who's got your back? Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to share with your family, because how are they going to understand? They weren't there. So we utilize the horse and those calming skills the horses automatically have to teach those coping skills, because we all have the solution. We know how to do this. But those horses mirror those behaviors, and now you're experiencing it. I'm not just sitting there telling you, take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. The horses are actually acting out, and you're experiencing these different coping skills. So when you're put in that situation, you've got it.
So the horses are actually modeling the behavior?
Modeling the behavior, absolutely.
Can you give me an example of how that happens?
I'd love to give you an example.
Yeah, I'd love to
hear. I just
some.
Came from a session where I had two elderly veterans, and one of them is very compromised, and he gets out of breath pretty easily. So he was working with a horse named Crystal, and Crystal is excellent at self-care, and when the veteran started to get a little bit out of breath, the horse would sense that and stop him. And the horse would take a big, deep breath, and then they would walk, and the horse would keep exact pace with the veteran. And when the horse felt like it was time for the veteran to breathe some more, he would stop him and breathe with him. And then they can only walk like halfway around the arena in this particular case. And when they got back, the veteran stood up against the horse, and so he could kind of feel him breathing and feel the heartbeat, and they both just calmed. And he actually sent a message that when I told him I was coming to the radio show, he says, "Tell them it works."
How long had this individual been working with this horse?
This was the sixth session. Uh-huh. And sometimes the people kind of choose the horse. We generally work with one, two, but usually three horses in a session. Sometimes the people choose the horse, but oftentimes the horse will choose the person, because they just sense what that person needs and will help them.
We work in an arena, so the horses are free. We don't even usually often have a halter on them or a lead rope. It isn't about horsemanship. It's about the relationship with the horse and building. If you can build a relationship with the horse and teach those skills, then they can take those skills onto a person. And that's what we're hoping will evolve, because so many of our veterans isolate. So many of people in trauma isolate.
Let me just give you a little picture.
I would love for you to paint a picture.
First of all, there's some really unique factors about the Agala work. One, we always work as a team. There's always a mental health professional, a licensed mental health professional, and an equine specialist, and the horse are horses. So we're a team. That's the triad. Mm-hmm. And we're in the arena with the client or clients at all times. Like Sam said, when we walk into the arena, they're free, they're loose. There's no riding in the program,
so the people are not mounting the horses.
No, see, it's not because there's nothing about horsemanship in this program. Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody goes and we ask them to like fetch a horse, and they go put the halter on backwards, and it's not hurting the horse, that's okay. It works. It's a solution-focused modality. So there's
we've
a lot
seen
of
it every way.
there's a lot of different ways to do anything. So in the arena, we bring props. We have hula hoops and tubies and poles and cones and stuffed animals and ropes and signs and we work symbolically and metaphorically mm-hmm. with these. So like. Today, for example, the client had an issue that he was facing. So he built that out of the materials, and he put the relevant symbols in there that symbolized the people that were involved in the issue. And then the horse to him, I asked him, okay, what does the horse represent? He said, it represents my strength.
Oh.
And then he walked that horse through the issue and then came back to us. And that was his goal, and the horse was like, totally. And then the horse wouldn't leave even after he was on. He had him haltered after he took the rope off. The horse just stayed with him. Yeah, it's very sweet, and it's very healing.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, it sounds like it would. If you've just joined us here on Central Coast Voices, you're listening to KCBX Public Radio. My guests are Sam Balz-Czak, who is the program director for Reins of Hope and an equine specialist, and Lynn Dorgan, who's a marriage and family therapist with Reins for Hope, and also Egala Egala member. You are, we're talking about Reins of Hope, which is a therapy program that utilizes the natural gifts of horses in offering a unique treatment program for those suffering from PTSD and other mental and emotional challenges. And we welcome you to join today's discussion with us with your comments and questions by calling us at 781-3875. Again, 781-3875. So do you find that with this program, is there an initial period where whoever the client is needs to get used to the animal themselves, to horses, or does that happen pretty readily? There are a number of individuals that are afraid of the size of horses.
Yes.
Or haven't been exposed to horses.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the elements that it is we utilize often. Because automatically, if you're put in the position of being vulnerable, mm-hmm. and you're walking to an arena to a different experience, we've already broke down barriers that we could not do in an office for, like Lynn shared, maybe 4 or 5 sessions mm-hmm. of talk therapy. Mm-hmm. The relationship is with the horse. It isn't with us, per se, because mm-hmm. we do very little talking in the arena. We're looking at 4 shifts in the horse. So a horse may do something kind of unusual 2 or 3 times, and I may just point out what is the horse doing. Now, it isn't about what my perception of what the horse is doing, it is about what the client's perception is.
And can you give me an example of what a shift is?
Yes. Well, I had a horse that was older. He was our grandfather. He was 34 years old, and his name was Star, and he was just exceptional. And I work with a lot of youth, and one of the youth, the horse kept going to her and kept pressing himself, his nose on her, and he did this 3 different times. So I finally approached her and I said, is everything okay? I said, do you not feel well? Is there something wrong? And she was like, no, I'm fine. So, you know, I let it go. But it was unique for this horse. He didn't normally just repetitively go over to somebody. And so our next session, because we do 4 weeks in this program, our next session we sat down and she goes, all right, I'm sure this lady's already told you, but I'm pregnant. And she had been hiding this at 15 years old, and she was 6 months along and had not had prenatal care. She felt, I knew, because the horse knew. And I'm sure it was the second heartbeat, and I'm sure the horse felt that. But it prompted her to get the proper care and to tell somebody. And that was him, not me. But she thought I knew the horse knew, and I was going to tell on her. So she took the appropriate steps. Meanwhile, I sat there with very big eyes and went, I am so glad that you were able to do this on your own and get the right help, and we took the right steps. But it just continues to evolve. We have story after story after story of the same sort of thing, where these horses just instinctively know what's going on. When you're anxious and you put that smile on your face, you might fool a human. But you go into an arena and you're anxious and your heart rate's elevated and you're sitting there with this different body language, the horse is feeling unsafe because he knows you're anxious, but your body language, which is what they read with each other, is telling them a different story. So now they're avoiding you because they're like, wait, this isn't congruent. The minute our clients speak out, I'm scared. That's a big horse. That horse walks straight over to him every time because he knows now what to expect. He knows their body language is softened, and they put on that. And the horse is like, I know what you mean. I'm scared too. There could be anything out there, you know. So now they've come together, and now they're part of the herd. So the horse feels safer and will feel safer with that human. Well, then instantly the human's like, oh, he knows. He knows. And now they can start their relationship. Again, had nothing to do with us. It was these animals.
Is part of what's happening here, Lynn, that the horses are helping humans learn to get in touch with their own bodies, the way that the horses are in touch with theirs? Because what you just described is horses as prey animals, being alert to what their bodies are sensing. As humans, we're not real good at that a lot of the time.
They are marvelous teachers in self-care.
Mm-hmm.
A horse will sometimes they'll go into the arena and they'll lie down and take a nap, or they'll roll, or they'll go get a drink of water. And we always use that as an analogy to self-care. And that often happens when the person involved is not doing their self-care that well. So, yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity to get in touch with that.
Well, and horses are only present. They don't think about the past. They don't think of the future. They're always present. They're always aware of their feet because that's their only defense. Mm-hmm. Their first defense is to get out of Dodge. They're going to run away. If they're cornered, they're going to act out. But horses truly are so in touch with who they are, even the ground, again, because of their feet are their safety. So how many times we ask our clients to get grounded and literally just move their feet in the sand and get grounded. And we can make breakthroughs with that simply because they're outdoors and they're no longer isolated. We're surrounded by an orange grove in Ojai, and it's very secluded, and it gives them the opportunity to just be outdoors and experience nature. And sometimes that can be freeing versus a room,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I love about the horses, too, is they bring that whole organic element, and you're already set up to succeed because horses don't lie and they don't judge. They don't care what shoes you wear or what color your hair is. They want you to be authentic. They want to see the real you, and that's beautiful. People don't always have that.
No, they don't. Now, these horses that you're working with, you said you've got 13
mm-hmm.
of them. Do they belong to different people? Or are they part of the program?
We own six.
Okay.
The program owns six, and then one of our equine specialists has three of hers that she brings to San Ynez. Another equine specialist has three, and another equine specialist has two.
Okay.
And they'll trailer them to where we work.
And how often does the program go? Are you doing this on a daily basis?
Every single day. we don't work on Sundays, and we try to only work every other Saturday if we can. But yes, we trailer the horses. We work with the treatment centers in Malibu. We work with veterans. We work with youth at risk. And we work with a lot of active duty and their families. Because our service is free, we are a nonprofit, so all of our funding has to come from fundraising. We do end-of-the-year letters. We have great supporters and friends of Reins of Hope. We have veterans that will come back and give us donations. It's incredible. But this is free for them. People cannot afford to get outside therapies in a lot of situations, especially if they're veterans or if they're active duty or even youth at risk. There's no mm-hmm. facilities. So we provide that for them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always, you know, we're always out looking for funding. We're always out looking for different resources so that we can keep providing this help to all of the people in need.
And the adjunctive therapy that happens with it, the talk therapy, is that mm-hmm. part of the program, or that something
actually,
that people can seek on their own?
Actually, we our preference is to be adjunctive to their talk therapy programs,
okay.
although many people just use us.
Okay, we're going to take a question from Suzanne. Suzanne, are you there?
Yes.
Did you have a question or comment?
I have a question. I deal with post-traumatic stress, and I do isolate. However, I do not have any problem at all with animals, and I have ridden horses recently. I adore them. So is it still beneficial if you are great? They're like animals are the only thing I really feel comfortable and trusting with. So is it still beneficial? Because I don't have a problem with them. It's just people.
Oh, then you will absolutely adore it. I think it's even more so. I've been with horses my entire life. I have always felt like they were my therapy. And I feel blessed every day that I get to go out there and work in the arena with these animals. So absolutely, Susanna, absolutely.
Okay. All right. That was my question.
Thank you.
Did you have anything else, Susanna, that you wanted to ask? Or
no, that was
okay.
Mostly it.
Perfect. Great.
Thank you, Susanna.
Thank you for calling.
All right. Bye.
So someone like Suzanne who, you know, is saying, okay, I think maybe this is something I could explore, is, you know, how would she do that?
Well, she can call our office at 805-633-9199. And again, we have facilities in Santa Ynez, Santa Barbara, Ojai, and Malibu.
Okay.
So they can just give us a call and we can set up a session for them.
So she doesn't have to be part of a veterans group or part of a at-risk group. Individuals themselves can come.
Absolutely.
Into the
again, it's all, you know, it's all contingent on funding. But again, we are always doing fundraisers. We're always doing grants. We're always out there looking to collaborate. So we always have those different resources.
Okay.
This is effective for almost everybody. We have many people that are disabled that come to us. We have kids as young as 3 because we have minis that actually work with our really little ones.
Mini horses.
Oh, yes. There's mini kids and mini horses. So, and one of our oldest clients is 95.
Oh, my goodness.
So we can do it from 3 to 95. Yes.
That's fantastic. And we're going to take a call from Bob. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. My wife has been part of an organization up on the San Francisco Peninsula for many years called NCEFT, Northern California Center for Equine Facilitated Therapies. Her program, they actually ride on the horses, and she volunteered as a sidewalker for people who had various disabilities, and they found the movement of the horses very useful for this. My question was, is there a national umbrella organization that oversees these types of groups? Because I know there are a number of them around the country.
Yes, Bob, there are. There's an organization called PATH, and PATH oversees and certifies for the hippotherapy, which is the riding component for people that have some disabilities. And riding can be, you're right, the movement of the horse when a person is on it mocks both the forward and backward movement of the hips, the up and down, and the sideways. And I have actually seen children that were told that they would never walking after going through a hippotherapy program. Where we work in Santa Barbara is called HEARTS. And they have the hippotherapy program there. When we work with our veterans there, we do the groundwork, but then afterwards they can ride, so they can do both programs. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to another way to heal with the horses.
Well, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you,
Bob. If you just joined us, you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX Public Radio, 90.1 San Luis Obispo, 91.7 Salinas de Paso Robles, 95.1 Lompoc, 90.9 San Ynez, 89.9 Santa Barbara, and worldwide on the web at kcbx.org. Reins of Hope empowers clients to improve communication and problem-solving skills, builds confidence and trust in self and relationships, and decreases mental health issues with the health of equine-assisted psychotherapy, or EAP. My guests from Reins of Hope are Sam Balzisak, who is the program director and equine specialist, and Lynn Dorgan, who's a marriage and family therapist with the program. We're having them share information about the program, where horses are the co-therapists for emotional growth and learning. And you can be part of our conversation today by calling us. We'd love to hear from you with your questions or comments. You can call us at 781-3875 and add your thoughts. Again, that's 781-3875. Good questions
from
both Susan and Suzanne and Bob. And with individuals, talk a little bit about the at-risk youth. You talked about kids in foster home situations.
Yeah, foster home, gang affiliation.
And talk a little bit about some situations, or can you share some experiences that you've watched children or kids?
Absolutely. You know, we work with a lot of kids that are third generation
gang members.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they've been in the court systems, and they've been going through a counseling program. So we co-collaborate with them. And so they come out for a four-week program. And what we set up with is, when we very first meet with them, we teach them about communication. And how we share that with them is, we use the horse in the round arena. And we teach them to send the horse out and bring the horse in just by using their body language. And why we work so hard on that is so that they will, just like you shared, they will get in touch with who they are as human beings and how they can communicate with something else without ever using their voice, without ever using weapons. But what's so interesting is, when we bring these, and we work with a boy group and a girl group, when we bring these boys in, we also often have a lunge line, which looks like a whip, okay? Mm-hmm. We call it a wand. But when we bring it out, we'll have a rope, we'll have the lunge line, and then we'll use our arms. So we'll give a demonstration. And every single time we bring that wand out, those boys always say, both the girls and the boys, "Oh, I don't want to use that." Now, these are children that have been exposed to violence their entire life, have communicating with this horse using their hands, and choosing not to pick up a weapon. In their mind, mm-hmm. that's what they perceive it to be. Mm-hmm. We've already established trust now. We're already talking about how their life impacts other beings, mm-hmm. and what you bring into an arena. Mm-hmm. And those round pin, we use it as boundaries. That's all that is. It's not a cage. It's boundaries. We all need them. These kids suffer from a lack of boundaries. They have all of these scattered things in their lives. So we're bringing them back. We're setting up boundaries, and we're teaching them how to communicate. And then we move on to tools. Then we move on to their strengths. And then we close. And oftentimes when we close, almost every time, we allow them to paint our horse. Now, mind you, it's non-toxic. We're not putting anything bad on our horses. And to see 17, 18-year-old boys that have been in and out of juvie since they were 11 years old, third-generation gang members, go and paint a horse and create a spirit horse. And what they do is, they use handprints, they put ribbons on them, they paint their feet, their tails, and then we take pictures. And what we're symbolizing is everything they've been through. Mm-hmm. And then we take that picture so they have that visual of what they created. And it's just beautiful to watch these guys play. They get out there and they play again. They're kids again. It's beautiful.
And what is the horse's reaction when this is happening, as they're being painted? I'm just curious, with all these different hands and individuals.
It has to be the energy, because now these babies have already been there for 4 weeks. And it must be the energy, because he just stands there like it's a massage.
No kidding.
And we paint the minis as well as My Little Ponies.
Really?
And they do a show. They do a little horse show. And again, you know, it's the therapeutic component of getting outside themselves, seeing who they are, and creating something.
That's amazing. We had somebody who called in and wanted you to clarify what you mean by horses are prey animals.
Horses are prey animals because they get eaten.
Meaning they're the victims.
They
of
are
being
the victims
preyed upon.
Preyed upon. These big, huge, you know, depending on the side of the size of the horse, but they can go from 1,000 pounds up to 1,500. But they're, and their feet is their defense, so they're going to run away. But the wolves drag them down by their nose. The mountain lions jump on their back. Human beings eat them. You know, I mean, we're using them constantly. They go up underneath their belly where they're vulnerable. You won't see a horse lay down if it's around a herd of other horses unless they're standing up. It's very rare for all horses to ever lay down together without that support. So they're constantly vigilant to make sure that they're safe and their herd is safe. Mm-hmm. But imagine, as humans, what do? We put a halter on their nose, just like with the way the wolves drag them down. We put a saddle on their back, just like the mountain lions jump on top of them. And then we ask them to trust us. I'm always amazed. But in our work, we're choosing not to do that. Once in a while, we will halter and we use it as a connection. But again, like Lynn shared, it doesn't even have to go on the right way. I've seen a halter be put on their leg, like a dog harness, and lead the horse. And he will. He'll walk with them. It's incredible because it's not about horsemanship. It's about the relationship. And the horse has to trust to feel safe because they are going to get eaten if they're not safe.
And talk, Lynn, about how that relates to us as humans. Are we prey animals?
In a war situation, we can be both predator and or prey. Mm-hmm. But us walking around today, we're basically predators.
Mm-hmm.
Our eyes are in the front of our heads. Mm-hmm. We're focused. We're focused for the hunt. A horse's eyes are on the side of its head. They can see almost all the way around them. They're designed to be able to get away quick.
Mm-hmm.
We're designed to focus and hunt.
Mm-hmm. And in some situations, victims of abuse
absolutely,
you know, perceive that they're prey.
Absolutely.
Can I want to expand on something that Sam said about working with the youth at risk.
Yeah.
Particularly with the girls, we have a couple of our horses that are really adept at finding people who have weak boundaries. And
explain what you mean by that.
If somebody allows themselves to be pushed around or like a doormat or
can't say no, afraid to establish, afraid to
preyed
establish.
Preyed upon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've got a couple of horses that are really good at sensing that. And so they'll come up and gently test your boundaries and give you an opportunity to create a boundary. Hmm. Horses, the way they're affectionate with one another, they nibble on each other.
Right.
They'll use their mouths, they'll lip, but eventually they'll bite. They nip each other. They would do that to us unless we can keep a good boundary. It's affectionate. It's not meant to be harmful, but they have big teeth. So if you can teach a 13, 14-year-old girl to keep a 1,000-pound animal out of your space with appropriate boundaries.
And appropriate words.
They're going to walk out of the arena with a different sense of their
power.
Their power. And their safety.
Yeah.
Their own personal. So we, not just the girls, but a lot of people. That's one of the main things that they will learn in the arena is how to keep good boundaries.
But they experienced it. It's not me telling somebody this is what you should do if this happens. They've experienced it now, and
right.
now we build on their strengths. Okay, you were really strong in that. You were able to manage that. How did you do that? I walked away. I pushed his nose away from me. I asked for help. I asked for support from my other sisters that are in the arena with me. So you realize now we've created action, not just this is what you should do if you get put in this situation. They've now experienced it. Now they can take that and move forward. We may not know how they react in that situation, so how do we build on their strengths if we haven't seen it? Now we get to witness it. We know this individual has this strength. Let's build on that instead of just constantly worrying on what they can't do. We get to see what they can do. And that's empowering in every way, shape, and form.
Well, it would make sense to me if we have difficulty experiencing our bodies and relating to what that experience means, that it would also be necessary to have the experience.
Absolutely.
In order to learn how to move forward.
Right.
So the difference with talk therapy is the explanation of it, but not the experience.
Versus the experience.
It. Yeah.
And then that brings up another point, too, is in the arena, like if Sam and I were working together, she's got her eye on the horse's behavior and the horse's safety. We're in there for both to watch out for a person's emotional safety and their physical safety. We're not going to let that horse bite a person. You know, we'll come in before anybody gets hurt. We haven't ever had anybody bit. But if they're pushing toward that, you know, Sam will mention, what would you say?
Absolutely. I would say we talked about this horse having some boundary issues, not expressing their issues, the client's
it's
issue.
The horses.
Well, he does.
Yeah.
He absolutely
clearly
does.
Clearly, he's going over your boundaries.
And so I'll say, you know, we shared that this horse has boundary issues. And, you know, what would you like to do to keep yourself safe? Because he's not being safe with you, and that's my job. Is to keep you safe. And instantly, we'll hear whatever their solution is. Not mine,
right.
Not Lynn's. Their solution, and we'll build on it. Excellent. You pushed his face away. You walked away. You asked for help.
Yeah.
Whatever comes up for them, we're going to build on that strength.
Yeah, yeah. That's excellent. When you, I want to go back. You mentioned when you were working with gang-related youth. Do you separate male and female when you're working?
I do. We do.
And the reason for that?
You know, so much of that is about family. And so what we try to create with our boys is, one, build on who they are as men. We have a male therapist that works with us, with our boys as well. And so we build on the male component of it and how they can keep safe and those things. But it also takes the element of having girls disrupt that. And the same with the girls. I want the girls to feel safe. But when our 4 weeks are done, we've now created a horse gang.
Yeah.
And these kids now have worked with horses together. Most of them have never even met each other before. Now they're brothers. And they'll leave that arena, and they will still keep those relationships. So what I'm always hoping is not only do they leave there with that sense of confidence and maybe they can make different choices, they now have brothers for support. And the same way with the girls. So many girls have just fallen away from having that sisterhood. And so we really, really try to build on that within our groups so that when those girls walk away, they've got a support system built in and say, hey, you remember when we were in that arena and we did this? Or whatever came up for them, they have that visual, and now they have another support system because support's what's going to get them through.
Are these programs for the gang-related youth, are these court-mandated programs?
Some of them can be. Yeah, some. And we have court appointed for the veterans as well.
Oh, they are? Okay, through Veterans Court?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
And the 4 weeks, are they residing there for the 4 weeks? Are they coming
They're coming to the arena for a 2-hour session. Oftentimes, they bring their lunch for afterwards.
Okay.
Just so that they can be outdoors and have kind of that closure with that. So, they come out for 4 weeks for 2 hours.
And how many are working in the group?
We've had 40 kids at one time.
Really?
But most of them we try to keep between 6 and 10. We can have up to 15, but then if we do, we always bring in another ES or another MH, a mental health or an equine specialist for safety. So it depends on what the group is and how we do it. But we do try to separate mostly the girls and the boys so they have their
own
experience.
For individuals that are not gang-related or maybe not veterans?
Oh, we work with attention deficit, with depression, suicidal tendencies. We work with...
Well, I work with drug and alcohol recovery clients as well.
Yep.
And are these worked with individually, in groups?
No, that's groups.
Okay.
We are contracted with some recovery homes in Malibu, and we trailer our horses there and work with groups there.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, a caller called in and wanted to know if Reins of Hope have any programs in San Luis Obispo County or if there's something similar that he could access in this county.
We don't currently have anything in this county. We do in San Ynez. That's as close
as
we are.
As close as it is.
It is. But he can go on the Agala, website.
And spell EGALA.
It's E-A-G-A-L-A.
Okay. EGALA website.
Uh-huh.
And also wanted to know if there's a horse-associated hippotherapy in San Luis County.
I'm not aware of one right in this particular, but again, if he goes on the hip,
the path,
hip,
the is path, it path therapy, website, mm-hmm. PATH.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They have all of the lists there as well. And there's resources out there. Absolutely.
Okay. Good questions. You are listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX, the Central Coast Public Radio from Salinas to Ventura. If you're just joining us and want to hear today's show it's an entirety, you can do so by logging into KCBX's website at www.kcbx.org. At the completion of today's show and during the next week, you'll be able to just download that and listen to it at your leisure so you can hear the entire thing. Today's discussion centers around Reins for Hope, a local equine-assisted therapy program where horses serve as the co-therapists for emotional growth and learning for children through adults. And my guests are from Reins of Hope and include Sam Belzisak, who's the program director, and Lynn Dorgan, who is a marriage and family therapist with the program. We have about 15 minutes left in today's show and time for maybe a couple of phone calls. If you have questions or comments, you can reach us by calling us at 781-3875. Again, that's 781-3875. For the programs, then, you mentioned, you know, going, do you have different days that you're going to different areas from Santa Ynez? So you're in Santa Ynez one day and then
Malibu another day and Okay. Ojai another day.
Okay.
We may even be in Ojai with a group and be in Santa Ynez with a group and have another group in Malibu.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
So you've got various horses with 13. You can go
Absolutely.
In different areas.
We're trying to make sure we can serve as many people as possible and have it be quality.
And how do you select the horses?
Most of our horses were rescued.
A
few of our horses were donated. They were ex-showgirls, and they have a new life now. They're both Arabs and highly sensitive, highly sensitive to and affectionate. Our one mare is so affectionate, and she's a mother, so we have a lot of people that can relate with her. And she's just incredible. She's an incredible article. You know, she just shows that love. She'll come up and give you a hug. And if you've never been hugged by a horse, I highly recommend it.
I'm looking at your brochure that Lynn showed me, and the horse that you're talking about is with a veteran, a female veteran.
And she's hugging her.
And she's hugging and kissing her.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Loving her up. And I see on here there's also a picture of the horse that some of the gang members have painted.
He got painted. He was a spirit horse for sure. Again, just that element of play and then visually and tactically doing something together and creating something and then having that picture when they walk out of our arena of that experience.
When someone is trying to move the horse without words or without hands or without push-pull, how would they do that?
Oh, we've seen it done every way, haven't we, Lynn? It's incredible. I've had people get so frustrated that they will literally walk to the arena and cry. And, of course, the horse immediately walks over. Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you're frustrated and angry, the horse is not going to feel safe. So he's going to avoid that you, per se, you know, or whatever's coming out. And we'll see that. And so as soon as that's expressed, and that can be with whatever they build in front of them using words, whatever comes up for them, as soon as that's expressed, those horses immediately migrate right back to them. So now they've seen it. What it looks like when you get angry and frustrated and it's so out there in front of you that it scares people and horses and other things. So now we can start building on how can you express that in a more healthier way. We all get angry, but we don't have to express it that way. Road rage. We have a lot of individuals that deal with the road rage, and this comes up even in that arena because they get frustrated. Mm-hmm. Now it's expressed.
They want to overpower the horse.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that horse is going to leave.
Yeah.
He is not going to stick around. Mm-hmm. So now we can work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can deal with that.
How do your veterans come to you if not through Veterans Court?
In flyers, brochures, word of mouth. I go to every military expo I could possibly go to with a table and share Reins of Hope. Lynn, we'll have our badges on, and people will approach us. What do you do? Word of mouth is huge, especially mm-hmm. with people that suffer from the PTSD and they isolate. These shows, your radio mm-hmm. program, mm-hmm. you know, we already reached out to Susanna. You know, just that there is hope, and that's what we hope always to bring to people, a little bit of hope.
Go ahead. We also do demonstrations for people that are interested in the program that might be able to refer people to us. So we've done, the Gala has done demonstrations at the national level. Julia Bromley has been very instrumental in supporting us and we've done a demonstration for her. We've had officers from the bases that will come out and we'll do demonstrations for, and then they can tell their people, hey, try this out. Because it's not something that's easy to explain.
No, you're doing a wonderful job, and your stories of how it has affected people and the impacts that you've seen help describe what the program is and how it impacts people's lives. If someone was interested in how do new programs start? I mean, because you mentioned there isn't one here in San Luis Obispo.
We don't know. There might be. You know, again, I would do the research on that.
And look it up.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's see.
If there's a lot of horses in the area, uh-huh. and if people are interested in the work, and that EGALA offers training.
Okay.
It's a 2-3-day trainings. Mm-hmm. Actually, they call the first session the untraining because
you need to kind of let go of what you know.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And that's for both the mental health professionals and the equine specialists. So you go through a pretty rigorous training process to get certified. And then we offer there's advanced trainings and mentorships and
every
help
year
with business.
You have to have
there's conferences.
Certain amount of hours. I mean, you're mm-hmm. regulated every year.
Yeah.
And we work with the military culture as well, so we do the military
right.
training part as well.
Right.
There's only 10 of us in the whole United States that are certified to work with the military, and that's because we've all done extensive military cultural training. And a lot of us have military families and background.
And you're not limited to only working with people from Santa Barbara County or from Malibu. People can come from San Luis
Absolutely.
Obispo County.
And go to San Ynez. Absolutely, yes.
So that's certainly available. What is it that you need to make your program work even better? I mean, what would you like to see happen as a result of being on the show here today?
Well, we're always looking for funding. We're a nonprofit, and so it's always contingent on getting those grants, getting the awareness out there.
Okay.
We're always looking for different ways to collaborate so that we can save money. You know, we have different organizations that allow us to be at their arena for free versus having to pay, a rental. And it's every little thing, a bale of hay.
I was going to say in-kind donations.
Yes, in-kind donations. Mm-hmm. We've had veterinarians offer their services.
Great.
Because every dollar spent in the program, we can't spend it on a client.
Right.
And so that's our goal, is every dime as much as possible to go into the clients and making sure that this stays free and available to whomever needs it.
Is there a screening for individuals that are coming into the program if somebody wanted to be considered for this program? What do they have to do?
Be open-minded and give us a call.
Okay, and they would call where?
At 805-633-9199.
And what do they say when they call?
Letting me know where they're at. so that I can find the appropriate times. We don't work in the evenings a lot of times, so sometimes that can be a challenge. If it's a family, we will meet on Saturdays with the families. So it's just making sure that we can meet the schedule, because we do travel with the horses.
Right.
So scheduling is a big thing, because if they work, then we try to make sure we fill up our Saturday if we're going to go out there and do that. So it's just that. Just making sure we can get them scheduled in.
Is it a... Yeah.
Well, so if you'd like to meet us, we're having an event here in San Ynez on the 17th. Do you want to tell them about that?
Yes.
On October 17th?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a free event. We brought you an invitation.
Yeah,
oh,
we
nice.
Brought you an invitation. It's going to be Saturday, October 17th. It's from 2 to 6, and it's at 1560 Alamo Posado Road in Solvang.
Great.
Yes, and it's going to be just an awareness of us, what we're doing, and raising funds.
Will it be a demonstration?
And we're doing a demonstration, absolutely.
Okay. A lot of people want to see the work, and we can't invite people to watch the work because it's confidential.
Right.
But at this event and a fundraiser we had recently, we did a demonstration, and people go, oh, that's how it works.
Do you feel like therapists who are seeing clients have a full understanding of how this could, because you mentioned an adjunct. So do you sometimes bring out therapists?
Yes.
Who
often
bring out therapists?
Yeah.
So if there's a therapist listening who is wanting to learn more about this program for their clients,
this would
something
be a great opportunity.
Be a great opportunity mm-hmm. for them. And they could get more information from you by calling your number.
Yeah, which is 805-633-9199.
And then your website
is www.reinsofhopeohi.org. And if you put in Rains of Hope and you do Ojai, you'll find us. We
and Rains is not like the water coming down.
No.
It's R-E-I-N-S.
Yes, Rains of Hope.
Just Google Rains of Hope. You'll get us.
And you'll see us.
So one of your favorite stories, Lynn, that stands out real quickly about something that just really moved you?
We were doing a demonstration for therapists, actually. This was a demonstration. And one of the people had just gone through... We set up an activity called Equine Billiards. And each... we create pockets in the arena, just areas where you can get a horse into. And we label those as challenges. So these are... And then the horses are coping skills. So they're to get a horse into a coping skill, into the challenge. Well, this one lady was just like, what is this about? And when she got the horse into the pocket, the horse put her head, it's the horse in the picture, on the woman's chest, and she burst out crying, and she was grieving.
Mm.
And just to be able to have that connection.
Yeah,
you know, like healing is all about connection.
Yeah,
and when you connect with a 1,000-pound animal, and can kind of share
that's
your
a big
story,
connection.
It's a big connection.
And this has been a big connection. I want to thank my guest today, Reins of Hope, with Sam Balsasak, program director, Lynn Dorgan, marriage and family therapist. And everyone who called in with their comments and questions, thank you for that. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX. Join host Fred Monroe next week as he speaks with Dr. Ahmed Nuristani with the Newark Clinic, Stacy Hunt with Ecologistics, and Eloisa Medina, lay patient navigator at Hearst Cancer Resource Center, with French Hospital as they discuss current and local trends in cancer occurrence and talk about the importance of prevention and detection and a new San Luis Obispo public outreach and free screening program for uninsured residents. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for joining us on Central Coast Voices.
May the horse be with you.